Today's shir is a schus for fu shleim for shalom and bracha. Today's shir is mesach tiksubas daf nun tes, and we will begin on daf nun zayin amud beis, 10 lines from the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah hamoiser, if the husband was magdish the extra above what the woman earns, that she's obligated to turn over to her husband. Ramea's opinion, as we learned in the Mishnah, was that it's considered hegdish, that's considered a valid act of hegdish. Ask the Gemara, Amos Kaddish, exactly at what point does it become Kaddish? Says the Gemara, Rav Shmuel Darmi Tavayu, Rav and Shmuel both are of the opinion, Maisalach Misa, at the point where the woman passes away. So when the woman passes away, everything that she earns, everything that she owns, becomes the husband's. At that point, the Meiser is Hegdish, because as we've discussed many times in our Shiurim, a wife is the Yairish of a husband. So a husband is the Yairish of his wife. And since the husband is the Yairish of the wife, that's why the Meiser becomes Hegdish. Rav Adabar Hava Amar, Rav Adabar Hava says, Michayim, as long as the wife is alive, Kaddish, the Meiser that we're speaking about becomes Kaddish. Have it by Rapapa. So Rapapa, in trying to understand this Machlaikis, needed to try to understand what is the case that our Mishnah is referring to. B'mai. But what is the Mishnah referring to? Ilema B'mai Lama Zaynus. If the Mishnah is referring to a case where a husband is supporting her, and not only is he supporting her, but ma'ala ma'a kesla tzarcheha. So there's two parts to a husband supporting a wife. One part to a husband supporting the wife is the basic amount that she needs to live on a regular basis. The other part of what a husband gives a wife for support is pocket money. And as we're going to learn, the wages she earns, and Chazal give a number to those wages, an amount to those wages are used for, correspond to her mezainus, correspond to her wages are for her sustenance. And then the other part, which is the packet money that we just discussed, the malalam, that comes for the meiser, as we're going to see. The Gemara is actually going to see if everybody agrees with that. So b'mai, again, what is the case of our Mishnah, asked the Gemara. Ilema, if we're going to say that our Mishnah is referring to a situation of malala mezainus, he gives her support that she needs to live on, and also malala ma kesel tzachah, he gives her whatever she needs money to have. So then, asked the Gemara, my time of demand omer lachemisa kaddish. Why would anybody hold that it's only kaddish lachemisa? If he has rights to her wages, and the reason he has rights to her wages is because he's supporting her, so then it's his. If it's his, he should have every right to be magdishit. The Elo, how are we going to have to explain that our Mishnah is referring to a situation that he is not supporting her, and he's not giving her this extra amount that she needs to live? If that's the case, asked the Gemara, then when would my tam demand on mechayim? Why would Rav Adabar Hava be able to suggest that already while she's alive, it's Kaddish? It's not Kaddish because they don't go to the husband. As we discussed extensively in our previous year, it works hand in hand. She gives him her wages, and he gives her the support. But if he's supporting her, then they should be Kaddish immediately because they're hers. And if not, then they're not his. And how could he get them? Answers the Gemara Loilam B'Malal Mezainus. Our Mishnah is referring to a situation where he is supporting her. However, Veina Malal Ma'a Kesla Tzachah, but he's not giving her this extra spending money. Says the Gemara, and the machlokes here is how did Chazal set up this arrangement of a husband and wife? Rav Shmuel Savri, Rav and Shmuel are both of the opinion that Tiknu Mezoinus Taka Mas Yedal, that the way Chazal established it is that she gets support from her husband, and for that she has to turn over the wages. Or the more Kesef, and the Mar Kesef that we spoke about, that the husband gives the wife on a weekly basis, is ftachas meiser, is corresponding to the amount that's above the basic wages. That we're going to see there was an amount that's a set amount that she has to give for her, as he has to give for her basic support, and there's a set amount that she has to give for extra meiser. V'kivin d'lo kol yov l'mar kesef. Again, since in our Mishnah, the husband is not supplying her with that extra spending money, so therefore meiser d'dayhava, the meiser belongs to her, and therefore he can't be magdishit. Rav Adbar Havasov, however, that it's the arrangement that Chazal established between the husband and wife is somewhat different. They hold tikkun mezoinus takas meiser. The support is not for the wages. The support is for the meiser, and the mar kesef is for the mas yadel. And became the koyav lemezoini. Since the husband is supporting her, that's why meiser the day havi. He is entitled to the meiser, and since he's entitled to the meiser, he has every right to be magdishit. So we have here a very fundamental machlaikas between Rav and Shmuel versus Rav Adar Bar Hava. The machlaikas is in understanding how Chazal established the relationship between the husband and wife. Says the Gemara, B'mai K'mifki, what is the basis of this machlaikas? Says the Gemara, Masover, Rav and Shmuel of the opinion, Mide de Shriach, B'mide de Shriach. Mezoinus is basic support, which every person needs to have on a regular basis. And what a woman earns, the basic earning, I guess what we would call the minimum wage, is also common. So that's why Chazal connected the mezoinus, which is common, to the wages, which are common. Omar Sover, whereas Rav Adbar, and the meiser, which is extra, which is not so common, to the mar kesef, which is also extra spending money. Whereas Mar Sover, the mar kesef is a set amount. And the meiser has a meter of kites is a set amount. And therefore, he held that it makes more sense to take something which is set and correspond it to something which is set versus something which is not firm to be connected to which is not firm. But ask the Rashba, the mezoinus is also something which is set, because the Gemara we're going to learn teaches us that if a husband goes away, asked the Rashba, the Gemara teaches us that, and he leaves someone else, the Gemara calls that individual a sholosh, a third party. He leaves a third party to take care of the support of his wife. The Gemara gives a very clear formula how much she's entitled to on a weekly basis. Says the Rashba, even though the Gemara says how much food she's entitled to on a weekly basis, but explains the Rashba, that is not defined into an amount of money. Because every week, that the cost of that food is fluctuates. And therefore, it's not something that we could call kayats. Another pshat that the Rashba explains, that yes, as we just said, the Gemara teaches us that if a husband goes away, he has to leave a certain set amount. But that's only in a unique situation where the husband is going away. But in a situation where the husband is not going away, so there it's not connected to a certain amount. It's not connected to a certain amount. When a wife is eating by a husband's table, the husband doesn't tell the wife, you're only allowed to eat this much. You're not allowed to eat more because that's all that you're entitled to. That's why it's not considered mided kites. So, in other words, we're going to have to explain. So now, the way we understand our Mishnah is referring to a situation where the husband wants to support the wife, but the wife is declining that support, and he doesn't want to give it a mar kesef. So, according to Rav and Shmuel, the resh is referring to a situation where he was magdish her basic wages. And since she could say, as we learned in our previous year, eini nezoinus ve'eini oisa, that's why the hegdish, it doesn't happen. The sefer is referring to, that is talking about that he was magdish the meiser. And again, since we're referring to our Mishnah where he's not supporting her, He's not giving her the mar kesef. The meiser is not hers, and therefore he can't be magdish it. The machloikis between Rameyer is Rameyer and Rabbi Yochanan Sandler says, because even though right now that mar kesef is not going to him, because they don't have this arrangement between them, but you could still be magdish it, because Rameyer is of the opinion of the magdish dovish labalaylam. And ultimately, when she will pass away, that money becomes his, because the husband is the yoyrish of the wife. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan Hassanla holds that he can't be magdish it, because ain't the magdish dovish labalaylam. Rav Adbar Hava holds that since he wants to give her the basic support, and Rabbi Yochanan Bar Hava holds that that is something that she cannot refuse, so it becomes his. Since it becomes his, that's why it's already Kaddish. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler holds that it's K'ilu, it's as if he said, you catch your Yadayich L'Yisayim, your hands should be Kaddish, and her hands are here. Ask the Gemara on Rav Adbar Bar Hava. Meisvei, it says explicitly in this Braisa, the Tiknu Mezoinis, Tachas Mas Yadeho, that corresponding to the Mas Yadayim. So what are you saying that the Mezoinis travel with the Meiser? Says the Gemara, Ema, we have to revise the Braisa and say Tachas Meiser Mas Yadayim. Toshma, so the Gemara asks a question on the opinion of Rav and Shmuel. It says in the Braisim, Eina Noisin La Moa Kesef Lutzachel. If he doesn't give it a Moa Kesef, the Mas Yedayim Shalom. So we see clearly that the Mas Yedayim are connected to the Moa Kesef, not like Rav and Shmuel, who said that the Mas Yedayim are connected to the Mezoinus. Ema, they're going to have to revise the wording and say Moisim Mas Yedayim Shalom. Ask the Gemara, but how can we revise the Mishnah that way? V'aloktani, the Mishnah continued saying, Mahi oisa, what is a woman obligated to do on behalf of her husband? Mishkol chamesh slaim shesi b'Yehuda. The value of spinning 5 slaim worth of thread in Yehuda. So we see that, and the Mishnah goes on to say, that there were different ways of measuring things, and in Yehuda it's chamesh slaim, and in Gol it's 10 slaim. So we see that we're talking about the Mezoinis. We're not talking about the Meiser. So we see that the Mezoinis travel together with the Moa Kesef. Hochkomer. Mas Yedeh Kamahava, even though the Mishnah is identifying what are the Mas Yedayim, it's only for the purpose of Leida to know what is above the Mas Yedayim. You cannot identify what is the Meiser until you know what the Mas Yedayim is. Hakam, Mas Yedayim Kamahava, the Leida, in order that we should be able to identify Meiser Dida Kamahava, and that the Mishnah says, the Mishkel Chamesh Shloim, Shesi Bihuda, Shein Eses Shloim Begamu. So we learned in our Mishnah, a Machloikis, when the husband is Magdish, the Meisim Mas Yedayim. According to Rameyer, it's Kaddish. And according to Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, it's not Kaddish. And as according to Rav Shmuel, the Machloikis is, if the Hegdish could be Chal Lacha Misa, Rameyer says it can be Chal Lacha Misa, because Rameyer is of the opinion, ain't other Magdish, Dovish Lo Beloilam. And even though right now he isn't in charge of the Meisim, but since after she passes away, he will be, that's enough that he could be magdashit. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler holds that ain't other magdash dovish lo b'loilam, and therefore, since at the moment he was magdashit, it was an ineffective hegdash, it's not chal lachemisat also. Am Shmuel, halacha Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, the halacha is that somebody's magdash moisim masi deishtoi, certainly in a case, as we've been discussing, where he's not supporting her, it's not chal now, but it's not chal lachamisa either. Ask the Gemara, is that true? Or me, Amish Shmuel Hachi, is that indeed Shmuel's opinion? But ask the Gemara of a Tanan. The Mishnah teaches us, if a woman says, kainim shani ois lapicha, if a woman says kainim, and kainim is another way of saying hegdish, because it's like it should be treated like a carbon. And of course, since the halacha is we're not allowed to benefit from anything that's hegdish, what the woman is saying is that whatever I earn should be like hegdish, and you, my husband, should not be allowed to have any benefit from it. The halacha is, ain't a tzarech lahofer. The husband doesn't have to be made for that nether. And as Tosfos explains, the Mishnah over there is referring to a situation that the husband is supporting the wife, the husband is giving the wife the ma'or kesef, and therefore it all belongs to him. And therefore, since it all belongs to her, that it's not something that she can make a nether. And explains the Rajba, that even though we learned in our previous year, the Rav Huna taught us, a woman could say, ain't in the Zionist for any Isa, don't support me and I won't give you my wages. That's only, says the Rajba, when she explicitly makes that declaration. Here we're referring to a situation where she is living off what the husband is giving her, and therefore it's not considered in any way as if she made that declaration. Ask the Rajba, why is the halacha, according to the Tanakhama, that he doesn't have to be mefer? Maybe we need to be concerned that he's going to divorce her, and then once he divorces her, they don't have this arrangement anymore, and then the chneder would be chal. So the Rajba answers that the Tanakhama is not concerned that they're going to get divorced. Couples getting divorced is, Baruch Hashem, not frequent, and we need not to be concerned for that. Moreover, he says that she didn't say the word l'chi megarsha. She didn't say that this hegdash should only be effective after you divorce me. So since she did not say the declaration in such a fashion, the declaration cannot be explained that that's what she meant if she didn't say so. So again, the Tanakhama, as we just said, holds in a tzarch l'hofer. Rekiva me'yofer. He should be made for it. Why? Because we need to be concerned. Shema tadif alav yoysim and aroyloi. Even she'll make even more than she's required to make to give him back. And that part she could be make hegdish, that he should not have benefit. She should make like hegdish koinim, that he can't have benefit from him. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri Omer yofer. We need to be concerned. Shema yagershanu. So of course, the question is, we just explained that we're referring to a situation that not only that they have the proper type of a relationship between a husband and a wife, that she's giving him her wages, and for that he's giving her mezoinus, that she's giving him her meiser, and for that he's giving her the mar kesef. So what is the definition of hadafa? So the Rishonim explain that hadafa is a third category, and the hadafa is sometimes a person, in this case the wife, is really going to work very, very hard and to have extra. That is not called meiser. And that's hadafa, which belongs to the wife, even when they have this arrangement between them. And therefore, the halacha is that part, we need to be concerned, her nether would be effective. And that's why we have to explain the Gemara. That's why he should be mefer, says Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri disagrees. Because Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's opinion is that even in a case where there is hadafa, the hadafa belongs to the husband. The way the Rishonim explain, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is not comfortable in this differentiating between the meiser and the hadafa. But what he is concerned about, and therefore belongs to the husband. But why should he be made for it? Because we have to be concerned, Shema Yegushena, and he may divorce her. And at that point, Vatei Asur Lachso. And then if they're going to want to get remarried, he will not be able to get remarried because there's an outstanding nether between him and her, from her to him, that he's not allowed to benefit from her. Ve'om Shmuel, and Shmuel says, Halachak Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. We see from here that Rabbi Shmuel says that even though the nether she made now is ineffective at this time, it will be effective eventually, and that's enough to be considered a good nether. So we see that Shmuel is concerned about something that would happen in the future. Answers the Gemara, Kiyam Shmuel, Halachak Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. When did Shmuel say this, that he follows the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that even though the nether is not effective now, if it could be effective in the future, it's considered a valid nether? That's only regarding the hadafa. Because the Adafa, as we keep on explaining, is above and beyond what she's obligated to give him. So for that, the Nedekechel. So ask the Gemara, if that's what Shmuel meant to say, so Shmuel should have said it. V'leima, halachika Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri la'adafi. Inami, he should have said, ein halachika Tanakama. He should have said, we don't follow the opinion of Tanakama that says we don't have to be mefer. Or he could have said, inami, halachika Bekiva, that we're concerned about Adafa, if that's what he holds is the basis why over there he's specifically concerned. So because of all these questions, Elam Rabbi Yosef, what Shmuel said that the halach is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is indeed because we're concerned about the Gerushin. We before said that he's not concerned about the eventualities that might happen. Says the Gemara, here we're talking about a very specific type of neder. Kanamis Kamrit, we said, as the Gemara said, the Mishnah said, what was the way she made her declaration? She said, Koinim Sheni Ois Lapicha. Kanamis Kamrit, you're speaking by Kanamis, Shani Kanamis. Kanamis are treated differently. Shemitach Adam Ois Aperis, a Chaveroi. The halacha is that a person can make a Koinim to say that fruit which aren't his should be also to somebody else. Fruits which aren't his could be also on him. That means somebody could say, Koinim, I'm prohibiting and benefit your payers on me. So too, by Koinamis, even though normally, as we've been learning in our shir, the halacha is, Ein Adam Magdish Dovah Shlo B'loilim, at least according to many Tanoim, by Koinamis, it's different. And by Koinamis, the halacha is, that Adam is Magdish, Adava Shalai Balaylam, and therefore we can't ask a question from Konamis. Ask the Gemara, Omale Abaya, so Abaya asks Rabbi Yosef, Bishlama, in the case that we just spoke about, that when Adam can make a Oysa Peres Chaveri Alof, that we used as a raya, the strength of Konamis. There's a reason why that's effective. Because just like I could say that my payers, somebody else can't benefit, I could say his payers, I may not benefit. Yes, but how could we use that as a raya or as a precedent that we say the same by something that's Dov Shlobalam? Saying that somebody's fruit should be usur on the owner of the fruit would be an ineffective statement. And the reason it would be an ineffective statement is because at that point I can't control something that doesn't belong to me because it's a davar shelo b'loilam. So we see from here that even though the Gemara is suggesting that Kanamis are stricter than the Dorim, even with that position, it's still not going to be used when a Dovish Labalaylam, says the Gemara, El Amr of Achim Reidiv Huna. So now, that teretz that Rabbi Yosef gave, that said Kanamis Ka'amrit, that you wanted to say Kanamis are different, has been refuted. What's the reason? B'ayma Yigdashi Yadei Laisayim. Here we're referring to a situation where she was magdish her hands. And as the Gemara immediately says, the yadayim is nebailim. That's not a davar shelo b'loilam because her hands are here. Ask the Gemara, v'chi kamra hachi, even if she makes such a declaration, mimakachin, would it be a valid declaration? Ask the Gemara, hamashabdalei, those hands are subject, she owes the work of those hands to her husband. And so the Gemara, the Amrush, she says, indeed, right now it can't be effective. It should be effective l'chim igarsha when we get divorced. But ask the Gemara, how does that make any sense? Umi kamidi, is there a situation? Dila hashta l'kodesh. Right now, she can't be magdish her hands. She can't be magdish her hands because they're subject to her husband. And when she should get divorced, Kaddish, it's a davar shelo b'loilam. We go back to our question that we've been discussing throughout Ashir, that a hegdish, the neder is not valid for davar shelo b'loilam. Answers the Gemara, Amar Abeloi, Alam Aloi. Why cannot that be effective? Ila Eimel Chaveray. If somebody says, Sada Zushani Moichalach, I'm selling you a field, L'Kashachena, and my plan is to buy it back. When I buy it back from you, tigdish. It should become hegdish. Milay kacha. The halacha is that it's hegdish. So that's why, even though under normal circumstances, ain't other magdish davish la belaylam, but if she says it, it should be effective. Maskla Rav Yirmiya, says Rav Yirmiya, the two cases are not similar. Midami, hasam, when I sell something to you, right now I own this property. So right now I can be magdishit. So yes, my intention is not to be magdishit now. My intention actually is to sell it now. But since at the moment I'm making this nether, I could be magdishit, that's, since it's biyadalak disha, that's why the nether is valid, even though he's attaching a clause saying that it'll only be valid after I sell it and buy it back. But since right now he has the power to be magdishit, that gives it the strength. Hacha, in the case where she's magdishit l'achash tzgarish, ain't biyadal garish es atzmai. She doesn't have the ability to divorce herself. And since the nether is being expressed in a way that l'chasha gershana, when I will divorce you, it should be chal, she can't do so. Holei damya, it's only similar, oim l'chavera, somebody says to somebody else, sadazu shemachati loch, I sold you a field. And right now, it's not in my possession at all. And he says, l'chashachana, when I will buy it, l'chashachana mucha, when I buy it back from you, tigdash, that halacha is, that certainly, loikacha, that he doesn't have the right to be magdishit, because you can't be magdish something that you have no ownership to it. Maskla Rapapa, asked Rapapa, me dummy. It's still not similar. Hasam, when somebody's magdish a field that he has no ownership of, gufa uperis, the property and the fruit, biyadad lakeich, he has no connection to. Hacha, in the case when somebody's magdish a mas yadayim, gufa biyada, the hand is still her hand. Halei damya, it therefore should only be similar to the case. Elayim l'chaveri, it's similar to a case where somebody says, Sada zusha mishkanti lach. If somebody put up a field as collateral, and they said, L'chashavtana mimcha, when I will, emet Hashem, buy it back from you, to Kaddish, it should be hegdish. But since that field is really here, is really his, because he owns his field, he just has it up right now as a mortgage, the halach is the kacha, that the hegdish would be a valid hegdish. So therefore, the Gemara's question is, that's why the Gemara is saying that she should be able to be magdish hayadayim. So Tosfos asks, the Gemara said that ein biyadal garish es atzma, and therefore, since she has no ability to be megarish herself, she has no control over it. But as Tosfos, yes, a woman does not have the authority, as we know, as we learn often in Shas, to control whether she gets divorced or not. But we have been learning that a woman can make a declaration, ein in the zaynus v'ein aisa, don't support me and I don't owe you my wages. So we see that she does therefore have the control over her hands. So Taisa says that our Gemara is following the opinion of Reish Lakish that holds that she can make such a declaration. The Shita says that indeed, if she would make such a declaration, that would be a good explanation in the Gemara. But the reality is that she didn't make such a declaration. And as I think what we need to add to the Shita is what the Tosfos Rosh says. She didn't make this declaration, and it's not common for women to make such a declaration. And since it's not common for women to make such a declaration, we don't have to assume that she did or will make such a declaration. Another explanation that I saw is that right now she didn't make the declaration. So right now she didn't make the declaration, she has no control over the hand. And therefore, since she has no control, that's why the Gemara says, "En biyadal l'garish es atzma." But ask the Gemara that even though she has no control, but since it's still her hand, it should be no different than somebody being able to make a declaration over a field that he gave away for a mortgage. Maskalar of Shesh Breder Vidi, Midami. When somebody gave away a field as security, Hasam Biyadal of Toysai. If he'll pay off the obligation, then the field immediately reverts to him. Hacha, but going back to what we just discussed, Ein Biyadal Garsh Atzma. It's not something that's in total in her control, because she doesn't control if she could get divorced. Halei Damya. It's only, isn't this case similar only to a situation where somebody says to someone else, this field that I gave to you as a security for 10 years, and what he meant to say was that I have no way of getting back that field before the 10 years are up. So we see that even though he doesn't have a way of getting the field, he still could be magdashit. It says the Gemara, still, it's not similar to our hands. Maskalar Rashi, Midami, Hasam, Lesser Shanim. Yes, he gave it away for 10 years. But the 10 years will expire. Mia Biyadal of Toysen. At the end of the 10 years, the person who made the Sneddik could get back that field. Hacha, whereas in the Maisi Yadayim, that she has no control over divorcing. Ein Biyadal Agarash Atzmal Oilam. Ella Amar Ravashi. Ravashi goes back. And we ask the question, how does Shmuel Paskin differently by Konamis? Konamis, comrade, you're asking me a question about Konamis. How could a Konam be effective on a statement on Masi Yadayim, which aren't hers at all? Says the Gemara Shani, Konamis are treated differently because Konamis are Kedushas Agufnanu. Konamis having them a Kedushas Aguf. And as we said at the beginning, Konamis are like a carbon. And just like a carbon, we know, is a very high level of Kedusha, we know that when we're magdish something, there's two ways of being magdish something. One is being magdish for Kedusha Stamim, just the value has Kedusha. The other type of Hegdish is Hegdish Kedusha Saguf. And Hegdish that has in it of Kedusha Saguf is a very strong type of Hegdish, a Kedurava. A Rava gives us a precedent for this. Dama Rava, Hegdish, if somebody put his axe up as collateral that for a debt, and they said that if I don't pay off the debt, you could take this axe. And then somebody was magdish that axe, so we should say that hegdish should not be valid because there's a prior lien on it. But again, because the strength of hegdish kedusha saguf, it does become hegdish. Chametz. If somebody put up his chametz as collateral, and now Pesach comes, and we know the chametz on Pesach becomes osba hanor. Even though I put it up for collateral to a goy, it becomes osba chametz. Shichur, if somebody put up his eved kanani as collateral, and then he frees the eved, mafkim edei shibud, and there's nothing you could do. Why? Because when you magdish the axe, it becomes kedusha saguf. The chametz becomes osba hanor. The eved becomes a full-fledged Yisrael. So we see that kedushas aguf is so strong that it could be chal even on something that normally it could not be chal on. Ask the Gemara if we're saying that that's the explanation. Why, when the woman was magdish her hands with an expression of kainamis, it's such a strong statement that it will be chal. But we keep on saying that it's only chal after they get divorced. But if we're saying that kanamis is so powerful, ask the Gemara that nigdashim hashta. It should be hegdish from now already. Answer the Gemara, amur abon al shibuda de baal, keheched ala hegdish mahashta. So the way the Rishonim explain is that there's a balance. On one hand, kanamis is very powerful. And kanamis, as we're learning, is chal even in cases where normally it would not be chal. But on the other hand, the obligation of a wife to a husband is also very strong. And therefore, because we have this balance, these two competing concepts, Chazal said that it's not treated like a dovish lebeloilam, and it is chal, but it's only chal after they get divorced. So our Gemara just taught us, Hegdish Chametz V'Shichur Mafkim Adei Shibud. So Shemesh Shmuel explains that that's exactly what happened to Klal Yisrael when they left Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in what schus would Klal Yisrael have to be taken out of Mitzrayim? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers Moshe Rabbeinu, but Tziaches Ami Mitzrayim, when Klal Yisrael eventually leave Mitzrayim, Tavdnas Alakim Alahar Azeh, we're going to serve Hashem on this mountain. So the question is, how do we understand this dialogue? So Moshe Rabbeinu was asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how could you make declarations that you're going to free Klal Yisrael? Aren't Klal Yisrael at this point meshubed, subjugated to Mitzrayim? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no. What's going to happen is that when Klal Yisrael leaves Mitzrayim, I'm going to make them hegdish. It's very similar, exactly similar to what the Gemara just said, the Eved that was freed. The Eved that's freed, even though there's a lien on him, the lien is meaningless because he became now a member of Klal Yisrael. A member of Klal Yisrael cannot be meshubed. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, there's no need to be concerned of the shibud that Klal Yisrael has over Mitzrayim. Another pshat that I saw, that the pasuk says that when Klal Yisrael were getting ready to leave Mitzrayim, they took the seh, they took the animals, the sheep, that they were designated for the Korban Pesach, and they tied it to their beds, and they said, Kaddish Yisrael Hashem. What were they saying? What they were saying at that moment is that we, Klal Yisrael, are becoming Hegdish. If we, Klal Yisrael, are becoming Hegdish, then the Mitzrayim have no ability to have a Shibud over us. Says the Mishnah, Ve'elam Malach Sheisha Ois L'Bala. These are the different things that a woman has to do for her husband. Techenes, she has to grind wheat for him. Oifa, she bakes. Mechabesa, she does the laundry. Mevashel, she cooks. Menika Espana, she nurses his son. Metzas La'amita, she prepares the bed. Vice of Betzemer, and she sews the wool. The Rishonim point out that our Mishnah is only referring to major melachas. The little things that, of course, a wife does for a husband aren't mentioned in our Mishnah. The Mishnah says that a wife is obligated to nurse his sons. But the Rif, quoting the Yerushalmi, says if they have twins, the wife is only obligated to nurse one of the twins, not both of the twins. And certainly, says the Ritva, a woman is not obligated to nurse someone else's children. That means if a husband wants his wife to work as a wet nurse to nurse other people's children, she's not obligated to do so. The Rosh disagrees, and the Rosh says, of course, a wife has to nurse both of the children. If she has twins, the halach is she has to nurse both children. It's very interesting. We know that I saw from the Sefer Matamim that when a couple gets divorced, the way a divorce happens is by writing a get. The get, the letters of the word get are gimel and tes. Says the Sefer Matamim, why is it called get? Because a husband is obligated to do for his wife three things. Sheira, as the pasuk says, Sheira ksusa v'anasa. And a woman is obligated, as our Mishnah said, to do nine things for her husband. And what the get represents is that those three things that the husband has to do for the wife and the nine things that the wife has to do for her husband as they get divorced, that the get terminates those obligations. Chnisla shifchachas, says the Mishnah, if the wife brought in with her nedunya one shifcha, so loy techenes v'loy oifel mechabeses, she no longer has to grind or bake or do the laundry. Shtayim, if she brought in two shifchas, eme v'av shalosh, she no longer has to cook, v'eme nikas b'no, she doesn't have to nurse his children. Shalosh, eme tzahas l'amita, she doesn't even have to do prepare the bed. Ve'eroish b'tzemesh, she doesn't have to sew with the wool. Arba, if she brings four avodim into the marriage, yeshevas b'katadra, she doesn't have to do anything. It says Tosfos, when we speak about not making the bed, there are two different ways of making the bed. One is a serious work, and something that involves serious labor. Since she brought all of these shifchas into the marriage, she no longer has to do it. But just making the bed, preparing the bed before he goes to sleep, says Tosfos, is something of chiba, shows love between the husband and wife, and that she has to continue doing. Even if she brought 100 shvachis into the marriage, she still has to sew. Because if she will do nothing, but it could cause that she should act immorally. If somebody makes a neder that his wife is not allowed to do any work, they cannot remain married. Because we can have a situation, says Reb Shimon Gamliel, where she doesn't do anything. Because a person who does nothing, it only could bring a terrible thing. And I saw that the Sefer Orcha Sadikim has an interesting vort. He says that we know that we learn Torah, but quite often many of us forget what we learn. And why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create that type of situation? Wouldn't it have been so much better that we should remember what we learn? So says the Orcha Sadikim. If a person learned something, and he learned it, and immediately remembered it, then he wouldn't have to learn that much, because he remembers everything that he learned. And what would he do? He would end up wasting time. And we just learned that if somebody wastes time, maybe they sham him. The results of wasting time are very bad. And therefore, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created human beings, he created us that we forget what we learn, that will force us to continue learning and learning and not waste our time. I saw another very nice mashal. If somebody has a field and he ignores it, he doesn't work with it, then what's going to happen, it's not just that he didn't work on the field. Thorns and all sorts of other terrible things will happen to the field. When a person doesn't spend his time productively, it's not just, okay, I could have done something productive in this time, and I didn't do it. It's much worse. A person who wastes his time from that only terrible things can result. In fact, I saw a very nice fart. The Pasuk says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu cursed Adam Arishin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Lo Adam Omar Arura Hadama Bavuracha." It should have said, "Arura Hadama," the Malam asks, "Big Lo Lecha." Because of what you did, I had to curse. What did it say, Bavurecha? So the Malam says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to Adam Arishin, you look at the fact that you have to work so hard on the field as a klala, but really avurecha, I'm doing you a favor, because by making the field needing work, that will make that you'll have to be busy and you won't be able to waste your time, and we just learned the terrible results of wasting time. As the Gemara, we learned in our Mishnah that what a woman has to do on behalf of a husband is grind. Ask the Gemara, Techenes, grinding is a very difficult job. Techenes akadatech, aleim matchenes. She has to do all the preparation for the grinding, not the actual grinding, which is a very difficult job. Nobody would suggest that that's what the wife has to do for the husband. Vibay Seima, we're speaking about just bruchai de yada, with a hand grinder, which is not such a difficult job. Says the Gemara, listen to the Lord, that our Mishnah says that the woman is obligated to do all these chores on behalf of her husband, doesn't follow the opinion of Chiyah. The Tanya of Chiyah ain't ish el liyofi. A woman is there to be beautiful, and if we're going to make her do all these jobs, it's going to take away from her beauty. And furthermore, ain't ish el labonim, a wife is here to raise her children. The Tanya of Chiyah, we also learned that Chiyah told us, ain't ish el tachshit isha. A husband should buy beautiful jewelry for his wife. If somebody wants his wife to be beautiful, she put on linen clothing. If somebody wants his daughter to have a good complexion, give her to eat a freichim and milk. These are things that will make the wife be beautiful. And the Gemara says that that's what a wife is. Of course, the Pelas Yoid says, we say Sheker every Friday night when we say Sheker Achein Vehevel HaYoifi. But so how do we understand that in light of our Gemara asked the Pelas Yoid, where the Gemara says Ein Isha Elo HaYoifi. So he answers, the way to understand is that publicly, a wife should not make herself up. She should not do something that causes men to pay attention, people to pay attention to her. But when she's in the privacy of her home, just when she and her husband, as the Gemara just says, ain't isha el yoifi. And in fact, the Cheskuni says that the pasuk says, v'tadaba Miriam v'aram v'moisha. Miriam Aaron spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu that he had separated himself from his wife Tzipora. And the Cheskuni says, how did they know? It's difficult to accept that Tzipora spoke about her husband. But what they said was they saw that she never beautified herself. She never put on makeup. So they understood that she must have been separated from her husband. Because if she was married, a wife, as we just learned, has supposed to make himself beautiful for a wife. And in fact, I saw there's an interesting shaila that the Paiskim discuss. We know that we've discussed this. A person is not allowed to be chayvel ba'atzmai. A person is not allowed to cause himself any damage. So is a person allowed to have plastic surgery, putting yourself under plastic, having surgery, and that is a chavala. But the purpose is liapaisai. Is that something that's mutter? Says the Gris Maisha that if it's being done for the purpose for the woman to beautify herself, and our Gemara just says, ain't isha el l'yoifi, that's why we could do it. And I saw that that's also the opinion of the Shalos HaTshuvos Beis Avi and the opinion of the Chelkis Yaakov and the opinion of the Mishnah Halachas. All of them are of the opinion that since our Gemara says, ain't isha el l'yoifi, so that's why a woman may have plastic surgery if her purpose is l'yoifi, to beautify herself for her husband.